From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's a fact of life that electric bills tend to be higher in summertime when air conditioners are working around the clock to give us some relief from the heat and corn sweat that can make summer on the prairie so miserable. But this summer, families and businesses across Illinois have been getting bills that are even costlier than normal. We talked about this on the show in early June, but since then there's been increasing agitation about the bills, some misinformation, and attempts to make it a political issue here. So today we're going to dig into why prices are up, who's to blame, and what you might be able to do about it. We've got a variety of perspectives on this on the show today. Matt Tomk is the Vice President of Regulatory Policy and Energy Supply for Ameren, Illinois. Matt, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to talk this morning.
Linda Larson is the Associate Director of Research at the Climate Jobs Institute at the University of Illinois. Linda, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Sarah Moskowitz is Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board. Sarah, welcome back to the show to you.
Thanks for having me.
And last but not least, Mark Densler, President and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. Mark, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you so much, Brian. Appreciate it.
Listeners, you can join us today at 800-222-9455. We want to hear, what are your electric bills like this summer? How are you dealing with that? 800-222-9455 is the number. I should also note we invited the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, MISO, on with us as well. They declined to join us and provided a statement, which we will read from later in the conversation. We also asked members of our texting group about this. Justin in Chicago said, yes, the electricity rate hike affected me this summer. I noticed my bills were significantly higher. I'm concerned about overall energy consumption in the state and would like to know what steps Ameren is taking to help customers manage costs and promote efficiency. Again, if you want to join us, 800-222-9455. And so, Matt, maybe I'll start with you, and we'll start with that. And from your perspective at Ameren, you know, let's remind people, what exactly are they seeing when they get their electric bills?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And it's a very good question. I've been talking to a lot of customers across the state about the same issue. And I will say, you know, first, I think understanding, you know, where the problem lies here and what's happening. So Ameren, Illinois, like ComEd, the utility in the Chicago area, you know, we are a distribution utility. We refer to Illinois as a deregulated state, right? So we don't own large power plants. We don't produce the power. We deliver it to customers and we get that power from the market. I think, you know, the story starts, I think, with a market event that happened at MISO this spring, where they went out to purchase what we call capacity. And that is paying for generators across the region to be ready to run and to provide power at times of peak. Ameren, Illinois, like many utilities in the Midwest, were a summer peaking system. And when those prices came back for the summer season, they were dramatically higher. They went from $30 a megawatt day to $666.50. Our initial projections would be an average residential customer, assuming normal weather, would pay an additional $45 a month, 18-22%. And as we are now aware, we do know that, in fact, it wasn't a normal weather event. We had a very hot summer. So those commodity prices are very much what is creating these immediate bill impacts?
Linda Larson, let me come to you of the Climate Jobs Institute. What do you think of that? Is there anything you want to add to that explanation of what's happening?
Yeah, so I appreciate Ameren explaining a little bit about the capacity auction, this need that we have as consumers to make sure that we can have energy when we need it, when the demand is high. I think that that capacity represents a relatively small part of our bill, the supply charge that we get. And so that's the aspect of the bill, not the distribution of the energy. That's the aspect of the bill that's been elevated this summer. And would love to kind of talk about why we're seeing such high load capacity. I think, or sorry, capacity in general. What we're seeing is a tremendous increase in load growth and in also the forecasted load growth. So we're seeing more demand for electricity from data centers and from manufacturing being onshored, which is a good thing. This is creating jobs in Illinois and elsewhere. But these data centers require a tremendous amount of electricity. And so what we're seeing essentially is that we're planning for data centers, but we don't actually know which ones are going to materialize, how much energy they're going to require. And so forecasting for that load growth has been really challenging. So what we want to make sure that we do is be able to predict better how much load growth we're going to need, and that could help us address some of the capacity problems. What we're seeing now is that we're paying for energy for electricity that we may not actually use because the data centers might not actually materialize. We're forecasting extra growth perhaps than we need, so we need better forecasts. We need to be able to figure out what the actual load growth is going to be and then plan for that.
Yeah. Sarah Moskowitz with the Citizens Utility Board, let me bring you into the conversation if you want to react to anything that people have said, or just tell us what you're hearing from consumers this summer.
Yeah. So it's been a tough summer. It's been a hot summer. It's been an expensive summer. I'd like to underline a couple of things that the other panelists mentioned. This might be one of the only times I say this, but you know, the price spike in Ameren territory this summer, this one wasn't Ameren's fault. And I think Matt was getting at that, but you know, this is actually because of activities at the wholesale market level. And to maybe just kind of put it in somewhat different terms than what were used earlier, in Illinois, our power bills have separate sections for delivery and supply of electricity. The delivery rates cover the cost of the local power distribution system, plus a profit for the utility, and that's regulated here at the state level. But the juice itself, the electricity commodity itself, covers the cost of that's the supply side of the bill. That covers the cost of the power, which is set by these wholesale markets. And in Ameren territory, that market operator is MISO, the Midwest Independent System Operator. On June 1st, it was the supply side of the bills that jumped. And as has been mentioned, that happened to coincide with like one of the hottest summers on record. Now, why did the wholesale market auction result in this elevated price? There is definitely unprecedented forecasted demand growth. And as Linda mentioned, you know, we can argue over how much of that demand for electricity in the form of these data centers is actually going to show up. But regardless of the answer, it's already having an impact on what we pay. Like basically the threat of this surge in electricity demand has caused a constriction in the supply-demand balance in the wholesale power markets. But I'm going to mention another thing about the MISO market. And it's too bad MISO declined the offer to appear today, because a big piece of the jump that we saw in Ameren rates, which by the way, those rates will be going down, thank goodness, come October 1st. We don't know exactly how much they're going to go down, but the Ameren rate right now is over 12 cents a kilowatt hour. We expect it to be more around 3.5 cents a kilowatt hour come October. Of course, just in time for us not to need air conditioning anymore. But the actual reason for the significant jump on June 1st has to do with a change in the way that the market operator runs its markets. Essentially, MISO was concerned that their old methodology of setting the market prices didn't accurately reflect the reliability value of capacity. So they changed the market rules to, without getting into too much detail, the sloped demand curve.
I'll say, explain this to me like I'm a smart 13-year-old, okay?
Yeah, so essentially they changed the market rules so that they would yield higher prices. There was concern that the market wasn't yielding high enough prices to spur the development of new generation. And so when you read the industry press, they talk a lot about like sending the right market signals to meet increased demand and all that stuff. What that means, sending the right market signals, what that translates to is yield getting higher prices, raising the prices. And so just so folks know, you know, these high price outcomes, at least from my point of view and the point of view of other consumer advocates, these high price outcomes aren't an accident. They aren't a mistake. The market was set up to yield these higher prices so that the potential generators could make more money. And so, you know,
to encourage more power generation potentially. And okay. Right. Okay. So Mark Densler, let me bring you, you've been waiting patiently here with the Illinois Manufacturers Association. Your members are big power consumers. What are you hearing from them in their world this summer?
Well, thank you so much, Brian. I appreciate it. We're at a critical juncture, not only in Illinois, but nationally and globally when it comes to energy. And every consumer, whether it's you in your home or a large manufacturer, want safe, reliable, and most importantly, affordable energy. What's happened, and Sarah and Matt have talked about it, but this is Econ 101. This is basic supply and demand, where we've seen tremendous growth from data centers and quantum and AI and manufacturing at a time when policies at the state level here in Illinois and federally have resulted in the closure of some baseload generation, which is clean coal and natural gas and even nuclear in some states. And so we're at that point. I would say, Brian, after a period of relatively flat growth worldwide and when it comes to energy because of efficiencies and changes, we've actually globally added an energy user the size of Japan in each of the last 2 years. And so as Matt talked about in the Ameren territory, these capacity charges went up significantly. We've seen the same thing in the ComEd area where they jumped from $69 a megawatt day to $269. And then in the auction about a month ago, it actually went to $329. And that is despite the fact there was a cap that was negotiated by Pennsylvania Governor Shapiro. And so when you hear about consumers, families in the Ameren territory paying $45 more a month, my members consume one third of all energy produced in the United States. And so we are huge users of it. And so my companies are seeing price spikes of tens of thousands or even millions of dollars a month in some cases. And we really need to get to a policy here in Illinois where it's an all of the above approach. We need clean coal and we need natural gas and we need nuclear and we need renewables. They're all part of this effort so that we can have safe, affordable, and reliable energy.
All right, we need to take a break in a couple of minutes. I do want to bring in, and I want to dig into some of those arguments because we're hearing that a lot, especially from some people trying to make, you know, political waves out of this, that this is about, you know, Illinois' decision to move away from coal and other carbon-producing energy sources. But I do want to come back to MISO. I mentioned I invited them. They declined to join today. They did send a statement that says, MISO does not have a role in rate making. Specific costs to consumers are based upon each utility's retail rate arrangement with their state regulator. Linda, I wonder, can you translate that into English for me or talk about what exactly that means?
Can you read it one more time?
Yeah,
for
sure,
me?
Sure. MISO does not have a role in rate making. Specific costs to consumers are based upon each utility's retail rate arrangement with their state regulator.
I'm going to defer to Sarah on this
Sarah,
one. I think she would
sure.
be able to answer
Sarah,
that.
Maybe in about a minute, and then we need to take a break. But go ahead.
About a minute. I'll do my best. essentially, what MISO is saying is that sorry, got a minute. Most of the states in the MISO footprint are vertically integrated, which means that the distribution utilities like your Ameren Illinois and your ComEd also own generation. And so for most of the other Midwestern states that are part of the MISO market, the regulators, the state regulators, can dictate generation investments made by the distribution utilities. In Illinois, we're a deregulated state or restructured. And so your Ameren Illinois or ComEd, they don't own generation. And so in most of the MISO footprint, it's a more hands-on regulatory process that yields the supply rates. But that's not the case in Illinois because we're not regulated in that way. So I think what MISO is basically saying, like, is that that's the we do we didn't do this, and that's the case for most of MISO's states, but not the case here in Illinois because we are one of the only restructured states in the MISO footprint.
All right. We're going to dig into what exactly that means and some of the arguments about carbon-free energy and how that might be affecting what's happening here. We'll be back after a short break. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us.
Support for The 21st Show comes from listeners like you and the Des Moines Art Center, presenting Firlet Baez, featuring colorful, large-scale works engaging history and legacy. On view through September 21st. Details at DesMoinesArtCenter.org.
It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the summer electric rate hikes that have affected people across Illinois. You know, rates do normally go up during warmer months, but they went up a lot more than usual this summer. My guests for this conversation are Sarah Moskowitz, Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board, Mark Densler, President and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association, big energy consumers, Linda Larson, Associate Director of Research at the Illinois Climate Jobs Institute, and Matt Tomk, Vice President of Regulatory Policy and Energy Supply for Ameren Illinois. You can join us today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. I want to share another message we got. This is from Terry in the Quad Cities by email. He says, to the extent that the major culprit of this added demand are the data centers, a question needs to be raised as to who will pay the increased prices for electricity that will come. Should the data centers not be charged more for electricity? If so, this could be used to lower the bills for households. After all, these are large corporations destined to have great profits from AI. I'm not sure who is best poised to address that. Sarah, do you want to take a swing at that one?
Yeah, I can try. I think this is an actively debated issue right now in all of the venues where we're talking about energy policy. It has everything to do with what kinds of power generation we want to bring online. It has to do with what are the policies around interconnecting data centers to the power system. It has to do with are there levers that can be pulled to perhaps incentivize data centers to bring their own generation with them when they connect to the grid? So, in Illinois, these are always a little challenging because we are restructured. So it's not like we have a full integrated resource plan that includes power generation where regulators can come in and work on that. But there are plans afoot to maybe at least require the data centers to put some skin in the game to cut down on the speculative load forecasting that we're seeing.
Let me, I want to address some of the points we heard earlier about the idea, and this is something we've heard in the political sphere this summer, the idea that it's Illinois' policies with regard to, trying to get towards going away from fossil fuels for power generation towards renewable resources. House Republican leader Tony McCombie this week argued that Northern Illinois produces more energy than it consumes, yet downstate has to import its energy. Linda, I don't know if you can address that point.
I can address the larger issue of Illinois and its clean energy goals. So yes, Illinois set aggressive goals to reach 100% carbon-free power by 2050. The Climate and Equitable Jobs Act It set timelines for getting off of coal and natural gas, decommissioning coal plants. We've made good progress already in terms of increasing our renewable generation. I think what we're seeing, though, is an extra challenge. When CEJA was passed, data centers were we weren't seeing the tremendous growth that we are now just a few years later. And that growth is leading to a lot of real anxiety about whether we're going to be able to meet our CEJA goals, right? Are we going to be able to meet it with clean energy? Are we going to be able to shut down the coal-powered plants, natural gas plants, or do we need to keep those online? And how could we actually meet our growing demand with renewable energy? This is especially challenging right now because federal tax credits for renewable energy have been removed through the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. We're seeing a sharp rollback of those tax credits, and that we're making it affordable, more affordable to build out renewable energy in the state of Illinois. We've seen tremendous wind and solar growth over the past few years, and part of that is because of the federal incentives. So appreciate all of the concern. I think Illinois is going to have to be really creative about how it meets the growing load growth and still meets its goals to achieve clean energy. It's going to be a challenge to do both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see if we can get some listener questions in. We're going to go to the phones at 800-222-9455. David is calling from Champaign. David, thank you for calling in.
Hi there.
I understand you want to talk about speculation and futures, the futures market, that sort of thing.
Yes. I think that most of us who have been paying attention are aware of the data center issue. But, of course, I pay attention to my bill, and I think a lot of us don't. And I noticed that that fraction of a cent that we were paying most of the time for this capacity suddenly went up to 4 cents per kilowatt hour, as much as we used to pay for the entire cost of power. So I'm very aware of that change. But what I'm also seeing, because I'm on PowerSmart pricing or real-time pricing, we paid last month in certain hours, particularly dinner time, more than 40 cents per kilowatt hour if we use power at that time of the day. My question is, how can the prices rise this high unless we are involved in some kind of futures market in which a lot of the existing capacity is sold in advance to speculators who sell it back to people like Ameren at moments when Ameren hasn't purchased, also in the futures market, enough power to meet the kind of peaks we saw this summer with this hot weather? Can somebody explain what fraction of the capacity that we are drawing on is sold to speculators who hold it until very hot days, sell it the day before at these outrageously high prices? Will Ameren admit that the reason we pay 40 cents per kilowatt hour in certain hours is a function of the futures market, very much like the grain futures market? Am I wrong here?
All right, David, that's an interesting question. Thank you for that. Matt Tompk with Ameren, I'm going to throw that to you.
Yeah, that is an interesting question. And I will say that there is not, in my view, speculation impacting commodities prices for electricity. Electricity as a commodity is very different than other commodities like corn or oil. It's not a physical product. Its usage, I know there are some storage facilities out there, but for the most part, the usage of electricity as a commodity is coincident with its production. And so you have kind of two components to that commodity. One, you have your sort of kilowatt hour energy needs that you're talking about in the evening time, those hourly energy prices that you see. And then you also have this component of capacity where you're paying for those generators, you know, even if they're not needed, to be there to run in case you have that hot weather, that energy spike. And typically, that's, there is capacity provided by renewables. But as we know, the sun goes behind the clouds and sometimes the wind doesn't blow. So those are typically thermal units or coal or natural gas units that provide that needed capacity. So there's not speculation. I will say we've made attempts on the capacity side as a state through the Illinois Power Agency to actually try to hedge capacity and actually go out and see if we can't get, find a deal where we could buy a little bit longer term and get a moderated price. We have not been very successful in that. I think the, last year when those hedges were set, we maybe got 15% of our load covered. It's 15% of our prices on capacity protected. I think the IPA got a little more aggressive this past year, purchased some more. So looking forward, we may be up to 30%, but we actually don't really have an ability to offset that through futures markets to the same degree that you would see for natural gas, or the same degree like a farmer would be able to do for things like corn or other agricultural commodities.
Mark Densler, let me come back to you. What I don't know if you want to react to anything you've heard so far, or just talk about what sort of changes you would like to see that you think would help alleviate this demand as, assuming these data centers continue to come online, or at least the people who are making these pricing decisions think data centers are going to be coming online.
Yeah, it's a great question. This is such a complex issue. I appreciate you taking the time. We could spend hours on this. And I think everybody on the call, and nobody disagrees that we want a cleaner future. But how do we get there, and what's the path? And we have to balance the needs of ratepayers, of consumers and businesses and economic development with the increased cost. And manufacturers, for example, have reduced emissions more than any other sector since 1990 while increasing productivity, according to the IEA in Washington, D.C. And so what we need, I think, and what the IMA is advocating for are kind of a multi-step process, right? So number one, under CEJA, there is a provision that allows the governor to allow these current facilities to keep operating past the closure date that was set in the statute. And we think by allowing that, that sends a message to the market. You heard, I think it was Sarah say earlier that, you're sending messages with prices. And what that message is we need more generation. So number one, let's keep the current plants operating a little bit longer during this transition. Number two, we need to incent new generation. Nuclear, which is zero carbon emissions and runs 24/7, 365. You look at the Clinton plant, for example, which is is in central Illinois. Illinois is a leader in nuclear. We have 11 reactors. About half of our load comes from nuclear. The Clinton plant, for example, was built for two reactors. There's only one. So let's get rid of the moratorium so we can potentially see new nuclear. There's the Lincoln Land Energy Project, which is about 1,000 megawatt facility just south of Springfield. Bring some of those on. And then we also need to build new transmission, right? We have to make sure the electrons can move. And whether it's Invenergy's Greenbelt Express line or others, our infrastructure is dating and old. We have to invest in that. And then fourth, also technology is critically important, battery storage, but it has to be done in an affordable manner. There's a big energy bill being debated in Springfield. And again, ratepayers, be careful, hold on to your wallets. It's about a $7.5 billion cost for battery storage that they want ratepayers to pay. In the IMA's belief in the business community, let's look at Texas and other states, use private investors or use the Illinois Finance Authority so that the average consumer, or the average retailer or manufacturer are not on the hook for that. So this is going to take an all the above approach. Everybody is committed to a clean transition, but we just have to do it in as smooth as possible manner as we're undertaking this. And I think we have to look back. There's was just referred a lot of changes federally in those laws and getting rid of some of those renewable credits for cleaner energy. That's going to put more demand when those projects are not built to make sure that we have gas, clean coal, and nuclear that are operating.
I want to, in the few minutes we have remaining, I want to talk about, so that's the sort of systemic picture, the individual picture. We heard from some listeners, Ann in Urbana, Matt in Champaign talked about solar panels, and in particular said our bill last month was $19. It was expensive at the front end, though. Linda, I wonder if you can talk about people, sort of trying to take steps on their own to implement renewables into their households.
Yeah, so now is a great time to invest in solar because the tax credits are going away at the end of the year.
End of the year, okay.
Yeah, so the residential clean energy credit will be removed at the end of the year. So, you know, now is the time. It may already be late for a lot of solar installers to get your solar. However, tax credits will remain for a few more years if you're doing a solar lease. You wouldn't directly get the tax credit. The owner of the system would, but hopefully pass along the savings to you. So there is a little bit of, continual, you can still benefit from those tax credits for a little while longer. Besides solar, energy efficiency is an amazing way to cut down on your energy bill. Weatherization programs, the utility Ameren, their energy efficiency programs, home audits, lighting retrofits, those all can help reduce your electricity costs. And then finally, I'm sure Ameren can speak to this or Cub can speak to this, but there are programs that can support people who are struggling with their energy bills. LIHEAP, the low income energy assistance program, was funded by the federal government. There was some concern that it wouldn't be, but it was funded for this year, and consumers can benefit from those and other programs at the state level that can help with high energy bills.
Is there an education program to get my kids to turn off the lights in their bedroom when they go to school? Because I can't seem to manage that. Sarah, I think I'm going to come to you, Sarah Moskos with Cub, for the final thoughts here. You know, people want to sharpen their pitchforks. People want to know who is, like, all this money is going out of people's wallets. Who's getting a new swimming pool? How should people think about that? Where should they direct their energy, metaphorically speaking, if they want to, you know, do something, write letters, complain about this? Where should that be directed?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot that we can do at the state level. Some of us on this show probably disagree over what direction the state should go. But, you know, I think that prudent investment in things like virtual power plants, energy storage that's actually deployed in the way that kind of maximizes its grid value, and all coupled with proper financial supports for at-risk consumers. And then I'm really happy that Linda raised energy efficiency, which I think is the unsung hero in all of this. And I think a lot of that can happen at the state level. So I think, folks, contact your state level legislators, your state senators, your state reps. I think we can spend a lot of time focusing on what's happening at the federal level, but a lot of this stuff is getting decided in Springfield. And you should let your legislators know that you're paying attention and that we need them more than ever to step up and lead on these issues. Because, yeah, there's a lot of blame to go around. But I think now's the time for our state to flex its muscle.
All right. Well, I hope we shed a little light on what's happening in this conversation. I'm going to end the energy puns and metaphors here. Sarah Moskowitz is Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board. Mark Densler, President of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. Matt Tomk, Vice President of Regulatory Policy and Energy Supply at Ameren Illinois. And Linda Larson, Associate Director of Research at the Climate Jobs Institute at the University of Illinois. Thank you all so much for being with us today on The 21st Show. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.